So for the first time in a pretty long while, I'm going to give a content warning for this episode because it starts off all happy-go-lucky, getting up to some shenanigans, and then it like takes a real fucking quick turn to pretty fucked up, Phil. I was gonna come up with a funny name, but there's really no sugarcoating. Like, it gets pretty fucking hardcore real fast. So you'll be able to see it coming, but if you don't want to get fucking slapped in the face, go ahead and drop the episode after like 15 minutes. But I guess if you stick it all the way through, I can give you a gold star or something. Yeah, I just want to let you guys know that beforehand, but it gets pretty crazy. All right, anyway, on with the episode.
So hey, Tad,
Yeah, Alex?
let me tell you about a couple more crazy dreams I had the other night.
All right, so this is gonna be a it's gonna be a good one. It's gonna be a good one. It's a good story. Because there's one in here that I was told about that I've forgotten everything about, but I remember that was pretty cool.
Well, I didn't tell you about it. You read it out of my dream fucking journal when I was sleeping that one day.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You let me into your house. You let me into your house, and so I started immediately snooping at everything. I went on your computer, I just immediately opened up like the first folder on the desktop, and it was fucking blam. It was like Awesome Nauts' folder. It was just full of like unrelated images and pornography.
I mean, hey, no one else uses my computer. I can put my porn where I damn well please, sir.
You got me there.
Like, this idiot read my dream journal and I told him not to, and he's like, holy shit, you're like a fucking psychopath with this dream. Makes me feel really good about it. But I actually just remembered, Tad, completely didn't even think about it. We still have to do the Men in Black dream. I remember we hyped that up before and I just didn't talk about it in like the first episode.
Yeah, I don't even remember half this shit. Because the last episode we did on this was like, hold on, let me check. Literally,
Before we had even 1,000 subs, that's for sure.
it was like around the time I did the Naruto episode.
It was forever ago. But anyway. So actually, let me go back and get that Men in Black one, because that one's like a classic for me and Tad, and I can't believe I fucking didn't do that. I'm so sorry. You're gonna hear all these pages turning. Oh god, I'm so sorry. Oh
Because
god.
I remember going through your journal thing, and like I would just like immediately like the title of the like I guess episode I'll call it like had any mention of anime, and I would just like immediately skip because I'm like I don't want to hear about Alex boning some anime girl, and I had to do that a lot, like at least six
No,
times.
I
I
can't
was like,
control my
nope,
brain,
okay.
dude. Okay. Okay. Let's do the Men in Black one real fast, because that one's pretty relatively quick and it's really old. I had this back in like, God, when I was still in Illinois, when I was still in high school. Like, this was forever ago, dude. This was like 2012, man. This is when I think I still read Homestuck, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you read Homestuck for the actual worst reason possible, and you sickened me. Like, I shouldn't be surprised that you like Steven Universe because your tastes are so fucking trash.
Well, hey, who's the one who advertised it to me this way? Who's the one that was like, "Hey man, this is really great. Look at this funny like comic thing. Like look at this weird thing. It's funny. Haha. Love me. No one else likes my stupid shit. Do you remember that time that 14-year-old couldn't believe I had friends? Yeah, aren't I proving him right? Fucking sheesh. Fucking fuck you. By the way, again for a really good episode, just like that one comment said, there isn't going to be a one episode that doesn't mention Homestuck. Off to a good start.
It just comes up. It's not my fault.
Okay. So I actually had two Men in Black style dreams. It's like a recurring thing. All right, here. I at least have the sequel right here. I'll try to remember the first one the best that I can. But forever ago, I had this dream where, again, I was real young for this one. The dream started out with me and Will Smith. Men in Black style kind of comedy Will Smith. Not that I Am Legend bullshit. Not serious Will Smith. Now, fuck that shit. We're talking about Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Talking about where's the video games?
Yeah, we're
What
talking about the
are the video
funny
games?
one. So, me and him are doing this sort of comedic sketch of sneaking around through, like, I swear to God, it was the clothing section of a Walmart. Like, it was, like, it would be
The
like a.
high fantasy capabilities of the mind dreamscape. Let's sneak around in the Walmart coat rack.
Hey, I'm with Will Smith here. So we're in our, like, Men in Black, like, you know, suits. You know, we look like secret agent guys, do, like, the earpiece and everything. We look like secret agent motherfuckers. And we're, like, sneaking around. We're, like we're trying to follow this weird, creepy, like, Russian lead who has some super duper secret fucking, like, disc that's gonna, like, destroy all the computers in the fucking world. We gotta get this back. And I guess she's like an alien or something. I don't actually know, like, Will Smith is with me for this and this Men in Black style bullshit, but hey, it's what it is.
Like you just said, she's an alien.
Yeah, maybe. So like, we're like behind, like, you know how like a kid will hide behind like the shirt part and just like move the like we like move the shirts out of the way, like looking through, like, they don't see us yet. And like fucking Will Smith would like appear like right above me with like binoculars. Like it's like really like fucking cartoony. He's like, He's like scanning through. He's like, all right, that's the target, man. What are we going to do about it? And I'm like, She's got to meet with that target. We got to intercept her before that happens. But as she does it, she goes to the produce section of the Walmart, I guess. And she meets this fat dude who, upon closer inspection through Will Smith's binoculars, is actually Gabe Newell. You know, this is old. So
I forgot about that.
Oh, that's like the best part of the dream. Okay, no, this is old. This is pre-beard Gabe Newell, okay? So he's cleanly shaven. Like, you know, with the award-winning smile type of Gabe Newell, you know?
A little twinkle in his eye.
So like, so he's like, oh shit, that must be him. I'm like, give me those binocs. And I fucking look at him, and I'm like, oh shit, it's Gabe Newell. That makes sense. He's gonna upload the disc and destroy all the internet. That way, like, a fucking, like, Valve can be, like, the fucking top of the gaming industry or some shit. It, like, all made sense in my head. I'm like, we gotta stop him, Will. He's like, what are we gonna do about it? I fucking, like, jump out of the coat rack, run past, like, that vamp, like, run to, like, to the right, grab a grocery cart, fucking, like, spin, like Mario, spin throw it at both of them. Like I just huck it at them, and it fucking hits the girl, like, just right in the fucking, like, just bam, takes her out, and the disc flies in the air. Gabe grabs the disc, looks at both of us, because I guess Will got out of the coat rack at this point. And he's like, oh shit. So he fucking like runs. He's like booking it at like Mach fucking speed. So we both run after him too. The fucking creepy Russian lady like gets up from like the getting knocked over, and she says there's two weird like big dudes with tiny heads. They're like fucking Mario like movie Goomba dudes after us. And we're like, oh shit. So
any relation to Chinese Luigi and the literal Goomba?
So we fucking run. We manage to avoid them by leaving the store door and going, making a single left. And I guess that just got him off our tail. And we catch up with Gabe. And Gabe's like, wait, you guys don't understand. Like, I need this. I need this fucking rule of the game industry. And it's like, no, Gabe, you don't understand. That's gonna destroy all the computers everywhere, dude. It's like, yeah, man, that's like... And everyone's like, yeah, dude, that's like an alien, man. You can't trust those fucking alien chicks and shit. Like, Will's right, Gabe. You gotta fucking work with us, man. You gotta save the fucking internet. We gotta save the industry, not destroy it. And Gabe's like, you guys are right. And fucking just snaps, like, the disc in his hand. And we're like, and then we're like, well, that's one mission solved. We put on, like, little sunglasses. And Gabe's just like, so you guys want to go out to eat? I'm like, fuck yeah. So we get in Gabe's car. And we go to McDonald's real fast.
Okay, hold on a second. So the dream doesn't end at we save the world. It ends at we're going to go to McDonald's and get something to eat.
Just a little bit more. So we get McDonald's, we're just like, hell yeah, dude. And like Gabe's in the front seat, me and Will are in the back seat, like sipping on our like drinks. We high five each other as like the camera pans up to the back of the car as the car like flies into the fucking like universe. Like flies away. And like the fucking the bumper says like the end on it. Now, this was forever ago, so I guess I was a lot younger and more, like, stupid, but I remember that you specifically told me to email this entire dream to Gabe, and I did that, so he knows that this happened.
That's right, because, at least at the time, he said, I mean, I doubt it's possible that he could have, but he said that he's read every email that's been sent to him, so maybe he saw this story of him, Will Smith, and some random 14-year-old kid saving the universe. Or rather, just, like, saving computers. And then flying off into the sky after getting some McDonald's. What did Gabe Newell get? Did he get a McChicken? He seems like a McChicken guy to me.
It cut us to us getting in the car, closing the door, and then, like, us arriving already at the drive-thru, like, picking up our food. So, like, we didn't see the ordering process. It was like a camera cut thing.
If I had... All right, I imagine Gabe Newell got a McChicken, you got 20 nugs, and Will Smith got a Big Mac. They could look at the camera and wink. the shine on his teeth. So, okay, so that was the first one. You said that there was a second one.
The second one's really short, but I remember getting really excited that I had a sequel, because I think it was like the first sequel dream I ever had. Because again, this was a long time ago. So let me review this really fast. Okay, so this dream, again, it's really quick, but it's just like to kind of inform people like how it all began with my stupid dream, you know, thought process.
Mm-hmm.
But this starts off with me and Will Smith back at it again. It like starts off going like walking down a hallway. So like, you know, the cartoon intro where they're both like walking down that, like, that music plays, it's legitimately that. It's me and him like walking down, like, just in our sunglasses, like, oh shit, they're back.
Men in back at it again.
So the doors open and we're like the big like headquarters like Men in Black area, and they're like, mm-hmm. fucking like Will Smith. They don't call him like Agent J. They just call him Will Smith. Like, hey, Will, L, you both gotta go on a new mission. It's like, what's up? And I don't look like me, okay? I look like Jay from Elite Beat Agents. If you don't remember, that's the guy in the cover.
Ah.
The guy in the cover with the fucking hair that like swivels out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The main one. So I look like that guy. So it's Jay from the Elite Beat Agents and then Will Smith. And so it's like, all right, guys, we got another mission. It's like, what is it? Take a look. She like gets like a remote controller and hits the fucking TV like monitor thing and shows these fucking lizard aliens invading the world. And we're like, oh shit, we got to stop them. So we go over there and with like a camera cut, it just shows us like Fiery fighting the aliens and like destroying them and shit. And we send them back. And then fucking Jay, Agent Jay, like as in like the Elite Agents guy, pulls out a little note, swivel like just really quickly like jots down with like a pen, like these aliens will return. Here's how you fight them. And then that sequence ends. And it turns out that was actually a flashback, and I was like in a dream looking through Agent J's eyes. And now I know how to stop these aliens. So then it does that exact same opening shot again of fucking me and Will Smith walking down the hallway, but instead of the Elite Beat Agent guy, it's me.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's like a movie. I had cinematography in my brain, I guess. So it was both of us walking down the fucking thing. The doors open once again. I'm looking around like, huh, this seems kind of familiar. And the girl, she looks older now, and she's like, hey, we got a new mission. And Will's like, well, what's the mission? And she's like, take a look. And it fucking does the exact same like hand motion and everything to the TV. And it's like, wait a minute, this all makes sense. And fucking, it shows the lizard aliens. Like, it was like a completely like just a shot-for-shot remake. I think it was the same clip like on the TV screen of the dream of like the weird fucking lizard people attacking this fucking, like, it was like fucking Hawaii. It was like some beach town. And they're doing all this shit. I'm like, wait a minute, that card. And I'm like, I know what to do. And so I push them out of the way. I start like digging through like all these like drawers and files looking for this fucking card. And so no one like knows what to do. Like, I'm doing this, and they're like, well, I guess he can't help us for some fucking reason. So they send Will out alone to, like, fight these lizards, but he doesn't know what to do. Like, everyone's freaking the fuck out, because I guess they're, like, really scared of these lizard people. And, like, no one else besides Jay, like, figured out how to beat them. And, like, it was all up to me to save this fucking day. So I eventually, I'm skimming through all these, like, files. It shows, like, fucking Jay. It shows Will Smith, like, fighting these aliens with a fucking, like, you know, the little teeny tiny gun from fucking the Men in Black movies?
Yeah, the one that had the really big blast.
Yeah, it's like this climactic conclusion kind of thing. Oh, it was the delivery guy. Conclusion kind of thing. And fucking, like, I fucking pull out this file of, like, this, like, really, like, rancid, like, destroyed, like, note of how to beat the aliens. And it's like, holy shit, I found it. And the dream ends with a to be continued right there. And unfortunately, it never finished.
I was sitting here waiting for you to describe how you were going to stop these aliens.
I know. It sucks, I'm sorry. But this dream, I think my alarm clock woke me up, because, again, I was really young. I was still in, like, high school for this one. So I never figured out what was the secret to stopping these aliens. But the dream itself, sorry to blue ball you, but this dream is mostly, it's informative of like how my brain started to work this way, of where I started getting these weird series in my head. Bindaman. Before that, it was me with Will Smith. Will Smith is a reoccurring character in a lot of my dreams for some fucking reason. He'll be like a side character for some, just there. All right, let me go to the big one. So, I've had lots of dreams, short, long, whatever. Ted's, you know, read through my things. He knows. There's a lot that just really aren't really worth talking about.
Yeah.
But this one dream in particular, I've mentioned, I think, a couple of times in episodes, called The Wonderful Life of Neil. Now, this dream, I've been very nervous about sharing. Because as Ted's initial reaction was, holy shit, yeah, looks like a psychopath, I don't feel good about it. It was like, and you, yeah, he knows. It was like a full-on, like, I don't want to say a horror, but like a fucking thriller movie, you know?
Yeah, so here's what he's saying is, strap in your seats, pal.
Yeah, it was just kind of weird and creepy. So, let's get, I've talked about it enough, let's get into it. So, the first opening line in my own journal states, this dream got pretty fucking nuts, if I recall correctly. It's like, even I couldn't believe it. Dream starts, again, this is like a full movie. So, the dream starts off, it's fire. This entire neighborhood, like this fucking suburban little, like, peaceful neighborhood is just completely set ablaze. Huge, like a fucking firestorm happened. And there's like a news report that says like this fucking evil, even though it's the modern day, this like witch lady who can like cast magic spells married somebody recently, but they both died, you know, in this fire. They think there was some kind of weird ritualistic thing. Like, no one really understands what happened, but they know that the witch and the dude are dead. The witch and the wizard, let's call them that, are dead. And they had a son, lived on.
Harry Potter style.
Harry Potter style, yeah. Well, if Voldemort, like, instead of just killing a couple people, killed the whole fucking neighborhood, like, fuck Harry and fuck everyone around him, no. So he was very young, like 2 or 3, like, he could walk and stuff, but he wasn't, like, you know, he was real little. And so this kid is sent to an orphanage, and at the orphanage, he meets these two girls who become, like, his friends. This blonde girl named, what did I name her? Veronica. And this girl, the other one with, like, black hair, whose name was Ashley. He's these two chicks that have become, like, his little, like, childhood buddies.
I thought you were going to say Veronica and Betty. I was going to say, is this fucking Riverdale? Is this fucking, oh god, what are those? They're like the comics that people who are alive in the 60s read.
Archie comics?
Archie, yeah. What he's saying is that Neil is Jughead.
Neil's Jughead, yeah. So he gets the name, as we just mentioned, and the title, Neil. It wasn't like his birth name, it's just the Neil they kind of give him for some reason. So they're all doing, you know, fine, living in the orphanage. And one day something bad happens. Some bully orphans come around and start picking a fight with Neil and his two buddies. So they start pushing Neil around, and he gets real pissed. He gets angry, and he fucking, like, screams, and fucking fire bursts, like, everywhere. Like, an explosion. Like, you know when Vegeta fucking kills himself in Majin form when just the big explosion? Like that, just boom. Like a fucking fiery explosion just happens, and the entire orphanage is burning down. Like, screen, like, scene cut. Entire orphanage is on fire and people, like, jumping out of the windows and shit. So, Neil and his two buddies run away and, like, holy shit, Neil can do this shit. Oh my god, it had to have been him, dude. And then it cuts to, like, this van that had, like, a little satellite pointed at the orphanage. And you see inside there's an FBI guy with a suit. Man, FBI guys show up a lot in my dreams. The FBI guy's with a suit and, like, the glasses.
I wonder if it's trying to point something out to you, Alex. Maybe the NSA are listening.
Maybe I want to be an FBI agent.
Yeah, you're a sleeper cell.
But,
see, I'm going more towards the Manchurian candidate. But yeah, you stay hopeful, Alex. Whatever, nerd.
So, he's, like, looking through. He's, like, looking at this little TV screen, and, like it has a little, like a little big fucking cell phone. I should say little. It's one of the big, like, old 80s ones. He's like, alright, I think the boy is ready. And then it cuts a few years. Cuts a few years, they're, like, in their teens now. So, those three orphans live in, like, this trashy little apartment and can barely get by. Now, they explain really quickly they've been kind of in hiding. Because after that orphanage, they didn't want to get caught. They knew what, like, Neil did. Even if they could prove it, like, their child minds going to their teenage minds saying, we can't let anyone know what happened, you know? They're scared. So, the two girls are like, getting, like, their little part-time jobs, paying, like, you know, whatever in the shitty apartment, but they don't let Neil, like, out anywhere. They're afraid he's gonna, like, blow up again. Destroy everything. Neil now looks kind of creepy. Like, he looks like a psychopath. Where, like, Veronica, like, and fucking, what was her name? Ashley look like regular, like, people. Neil is, like, very pale. Completely is, like, bald. And I don't mean shaved head. I mean, like, just the skin looks almost like it's burnt a little bit. You know, like, the weird scar on his, like...
Like fucking Voldemort.
Except he has a nose.
Voldemort with a nose.
He looks weird. He looks like a guy that if you saw him crossing the street, like, wearing a hoodie, you'd be like, well, going to the other sidewalk real fast. You'd be scared of this guy. So, now, life, even though it was kind of shitty in this place, wasn't too terrible. I even describe it here. They're having a nice life. Keep, like, even though Neil's get a little, like, boxed up, they're hanging out with him, they're watching TV. It does these, like, scenic cuts, kind of like showing, like, a passing of time and showing joyous moments of them, like, having fun, doing stuff, doing like little anime things, like the anime peace sign and shit. Like they're having a good time. And I say anime peace sign because they have like the anime like big smile. Like it looks like an anime. It doesn't look like real people for whatever that one like picture. But like they're having a good time. Then they meet these two other dudes. They meet this one black guy named Derek. It's a great name. And they meet this Indian dude also who's his buddy named Raz. It turns out, I don't know like how they figure this out, but like Derek is actually in the exact same situation as him. His buddy Raz is actually kind of psychic too. He has weird visions just like Neil does. Oh, I even forgot to mention that. So after the fire, Neil's been like...
I was about to say, when's Alex going to get to the actually important part?
So while he's having these good times, he's also having these bad moments. And why they keep him in the house is that like he'll have many options where he's just kind of like curled up, like rocking in like the corner because he sees weird shit after the big explosion fire. He sees this image of this like lady in like a bridal gown, but one entire half of her is like completely burnt, kind of like Two-Face. So like, and he's weirded out. It doesn't take much of a genius to figure out that that's like his mom, right?
Yeah.
And so that's to kind of show you that fire in the big neighborhood, that was him. So they meet up with Raz and Derek. And they're like, Raz has like these weird visions too and shit. And then like while they're talking, there's this really weird moment where Neil and Raz like kind of like walk up to each other, like almost like fucking animals. They don't talk. They just kind of look at each other, like follow their head movements and shit, like tilt like to the left and the right. And then they're like, the scene like ends. Like they were just kind of figuring each other out, almost like they were like doing it in their head. It was a really weird scene. So then it cuts again to the FBI guys. Again, now they're a bit like the lead dude looks like a lot older now. He looks like, imagine like if the guy from American Dad with like his fucking haircut and shit and his big like defined chin, but was realistic. It wasn't cartoonishly huge. Like he just looked like, you know, he looked like the FBI guy in a movie, you know? But he looked like, hey, like his face was a little like sunken, and now he was older because he's been following Neil this whole time. So then another fire happens, but this time it wasn't Neil. It was actually just like a kitchen fire. Like they actually just fucked up when they're cooking food, like whoopsie doodles.
They picked a whole bouquet of oopsie-daisies.
Yeah, but this was actually a key moment that happened. You see, what happened was is that the FBI guys have been following this whole time. They know what they're doing. They're just waiting for the next breakout, the next awakening, as they call it, to Neil's power. Because they know everything about Neil. And they're like, that's it. Because they see the smoke and the fire. They think that was him. They don't know that it was just a regular fire, you know? So they fucking run. They fucking, like, just, like, yeah, calls them up, like, it's time. Fucking, like, the fucking SWAT. The armored-up dudes. They have, like, these big, like, they're not stun sticks. They're anti-psychic energy sticks. Specifically made to counter, to beat the shit out of people like Raz and Neil.
Well, here's the thing, Alex. You can also get, like, an anti-thinking stick by using a stun stick and beating someone with it. Because you can't think if you're being hit, and it hurts a lot.
Well, it was to disrupt their psychic energy. Look, motherfucker, this was what happened in the dream, alright?
Alright, I'm just saying, if I was a psychic person and someone beat me with a taser, I wouldn't be able to think very clearly.
Well, no, because when Neil was getting beat up, that just made him stronger. Much like a Saiyan, he exploded.
So he's like a psychic Hulk.
Yes! He's like a Wobbuffet. He can only hit based on how much damage you deal to him. You beat him up too much, he'll fucking explode.
Thank you for putting it into terms that I can finally understand. Exclusive. I only think about things in terms of how much Wobbuffet can I relate to this. Thank you, Alex. That and Homestuck. You see, let me tell you how Homestuck is a lot like Wobbuffet.
Fuck off for a minute, alright? So, like, the kids and shit, I'm gonna call them the kids, they're teenagers still, look out the window, and they're like, oh shit, they're here! Oh god, they're here, they're coming! The group's, like, scared. The house is, like, starting to burn down because of the kitchen fire. The fucking FBI is, like getting grouped up and storming, like, up the fucking stairs of the apartment because they're kind of high up. You can, like, hear them from the inside of the place. The group, the gang, is all, like, huddled up together, like, hugging and crying. Because, like, Derek and Raz and the two girls are all, like, they're like, oh, shit, everything's dead. We're fucked. Everything's fucked. Oh, it's all over. We're caught. Neil's been, like, just staring, like, deadpan out the window. Again, creepy as fuck. Looking out at these cops, like, sort coming, like, just, I get, they're just, like, coming out the car like ants. There's no, like, end of them.
So you mean, like, a clown car.
Yeah. like, even though there's already them, like, busting, like, banging on the door, there's still, like, more coming out and going up the stairs.
I think your dream ran out of resources and was just using the same car model.
So Neil's like, get out. get out. He starts like freaking out, like grabbing his head, and they're like, "What's he saying?" He runs over and hugs the group, and he yells, "Get out!" like really loud, like a huge like scream, almost a girly fucking scream. And as soon as the door kicks open and he yells that, it's a bright white flash. Then it cuts years more in the future. They got away. Now they're kind of adults. They live in a nicer place this time. Theo looks like a much older, still creepy-looking dude, but he's out of the house. Like, Veronica and fucking Ash, they have jobs. They're living, like, a nice life. He finally got the wonderful, little, nice, quiet life he's always wanted. He's got his fucking, like, hoodie on. He's walking down the street. He's let out of the house now. He for whatever reason, is a little more adjusted. He even has a job. I don't remember what it was, but I think it's like, a grocery store or some shit.
Working night shift at Walmart.
No. It was like a shitty, like, convenience store. It was like Walgreens, one of the ones that is not Walmart. Like, Neil's not that normal, Tad. Come on, let's be honest. So Neil's just walking down the street. His head still has that weird, like, scar on like, kind of like the back of it. But for the most part, he looks like a dude. He looks kind of like, kind of like Stamper, almost. That fucking Newgrounds anime. He looks kind of like him without the glasses. Kind of like just a weird bald guy that you would, again, when you saw a stamp, you'd be like, oh, fuck, I'm going over here on the other sidewalk. So Neil's walking down the sidewalk. He walks past this, like, this big building, like the back of it. You know how they have doors for the trucks and, like, moving, like, stuff into like, the back of their store? He sees that it's a wedding store. He stops and looks over, and sees, like, this, like, bridal gown on, like, a fucking, like, model, like a mannequin, right? He looks at it really, like intently. Then, the camera goes to, like, looking at the, like, it's, like, zooming in, like, slowly on the bridal gown. Then, like, back to Neil's face. Then back to the bridal gown. Then back to Neil's face, like through his eyes. And then it goes to the bridal gown, but this time the bridal gown is that figure he kept having hallucinations of. The fucking lady with the hat, like, the two-faced lady with the half-burnt side. Mm-hmm. And she, like, reaches out, like, to, like, holds up her hand. And Neil, like, reaches out, like, touches her finger. And then, like, this fucking, like a flash happens again. And now, this is when it gets fucked up. This is when it becomes the serial killer part. Like, this is when I wrote down, and what follows, freaked me the fuck out.
See, I remember, because I was reading through it, I'm like, okay, this just sounds like some dumb anime shit, whatever. I guess I'll finish this one, because I'm already, like, two pages deep.
Yeah, and then there's the last page. So then it cuts, and, like, it's a future cut, but it's at his current home, and it's on fire. And that Veronica girl, the blonde one, is cut in two, like top half, you know, like through like the stomach, like horizontally, like top half, bottom half.
Yeah, like Arid and Ampora when he got cut in half by Kanaya, in Act 5, Act 2 of Homestuck.
See, you know, I said that fucking YouTube comment. Now you're just making sure it keeps being true. You piece of shit! I shouldn't have told you that.
It's not my fault, Alex.
I think you love Homestuck a little too much, Tad.
Ooh, that's for sure.
So anyway. Fucking, the house that they were in is on fire. Veronica's cut in half, and Neil is fucking raping the bottom half of her.
Excuse me?
Like, just, it's graphic shit.
Oh, I forgot.
You don't remember? This got fucked up, Tad. This became serial killer level. And he's, like just fucking it, and the house is on fire, and everything's burning down. He's, like, laughing maniacally. Then the scene cuts again. Turns out Derek, that black guy from earlier, has a car wash. And at that car wash, he's actually found and killed Raz and was cut off his arms and then started fucking his Indian friend Raz.
What is...
Neil, that is. Neil started raping Raz. Then it cuts to him fucking that fucking other girl, Ash, with the black hair, and it turns out she's actually just completely already just dead. He's fucking pretty much like, you know that 20 pounds of raw pussy and ass thing? He's just fucking like that part of her that's still intact. Everything's just gone. It's
Jesus
disgusting.
Christ.
He's like completely fucking lost it.
I remember now why I said, Alex, I think you're a fucking serial killer.
Yeah, this is why I don't want to talk about this dream. It's fucked up. But so he's just dismembered and raped all of his friends of either gender at this point. And he's been just completely lost it and setting everything on fire. And then right after that, it shows like the gas station like exploding. Like as he fucking like climaxes. Then it cuts back to like him retracting his hand from like the fucking like weird ghostly image of his. Oh, I'm sorry. Like after that happens, it does like this weird cut of like showing him like this fucking like this almost DreamWorks face of the one raised eyebrow and his head turns into like a candle. I don't know what that meant.
It shows the DreamWorks face of just, hey guys, wasn't that kind of crazy? Wink. Like that smug fucking DreamWorks boss baby face?
Look, it's supposed to be weird, because he has like his one eyebrow raised, he's like looking like all like evil and shit, and his head turns into like a candle. Then it cuts away. Then like it's a flash again. It cuts away from him retracting his hand from like the fucking bridal, like the creepy image of his like weird mother, and he still has like the candle head. Then it cuts back, like it showed like him, look at the candle face, and then it fucking cuts back to the bridal gown, which is now just again a gown on a mannequin. Then it cuts back to Neil and he's back to normal. He puts his hand back in his pocket, he's like, nah. Eh, no thanks. And he walks away. And he goes back to having his wonderful quiet life. He turned down, like, awakening his full power or whatever. Because that would do that to him.
And in the famous words of one of my favorite YouTube comedians, what? Give it a full JonTron. What?
And that's the happy end. So, don't worry. No one got dismembered and raped. That was just a weird dream sequence within the dream of Neil, like, having that weird psychic vision. He chose not to do that, so Neil's still a good boy, everybody.
I don't know if Alex is.
See, this is so I hyped up this dream before, and you can see why. It's not the longest dream, but in the dream it was like a movie. You know, I'm summing it up a little bit, like a summary of like the plot. It was really weird. Like when I woke up from my bed, I didn't even like get up. I just opened my eyes and said, "Wow, that was really fucking weird." Like, I was aware of my own dream being so creepy. I wrote it down, like, twice in here that it's weird. Ted wrote it, read it, and he said, fucking, wow, I looked like a serial killer. And I was worried about telling people this dream, because I don't want people to think of a serial killer.
Yeah, you don't want anyone to think you're a little weird. You know, I don't want people to think I'm a serial killer. Quote from man who played Hyperdimension Neptunia in the English dub and thought it was fine.
Yo, fucking... Bitch, don't be talking about my nep, or you're gonna end up like Raz. I'll cut off your arms and rape you in a car wash, kid.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I forgot how nutso that went. I forgot just how crazy it got. It was just like that it for like a second, and just like, nah, don't feel like it.
Like, the dream throughout the whole scene, because it's a lot longer in the dream itself, it plays out like, oh, it's going to happen. Like, something bad's going to happen. He's freaking out. He's seeing the weird images, you know? But nothing, like, too big happens until it just snaps. And the dream says, fuck you. And just puts all this crazy fucking guru rape in my brain. I am still weirded out by that dream. I never had anything as graphic or weird. Everything afterwards has been funny. Has been relatively humorous.
Because remember, this was pre-Bindaman. Bindaman came after this.
Neil spawned Bindaman. No, fucking... But everything is, like, everything before it was funny and weird. Like the Gabe Newell dream with me and Will Smith, the Men in Black style dreams. Everything after it was weird and funny. But Neil, for whatever reason, stands out. Even when I'm stressed and have a dream that I would find relatively creepy, like the fog walkers, like, that was just, like, a really short dream of being mildly creepy. There was nothing that made me, like, scared or actually, like, in fear. But when I woke up from this dream, the aftermath of this dream is what terrified me. Because I always thought, man, people are gonna think I'm a fucking murderer. This is the kind of shit you read in a suicide murder manifesto, you know? Like, fuck, dude.
Now... Where's the Matt-Pat game theory? Bindaman is actually Neil? I gave Let Me Tell You About to the Pope.
I imagine the Pope listens to this episode, he's like, man, that kid's... Man, the Lord ain't with that kid, that's for sure.
He sounded like John for a second there.
I tell you what, that boy ain't correct. The Lord's right with that one, Bobby. That's what the Pope sounds like, I guess. Fuck you.
I meant John Gorgrek, John Bricksmasher from Revival, a Dungeons & Dragons real play podcast.
The podcast that no one listens to. What I think inspired this dream is I think it might have been the Final Destination movies, how they had those weird psychic visions of, like, just graphic death, right, but while things are still, like, calm and peaceful, you know, at the start of the movies. Mm-hmm. I think that might have been what did it in my brain to make that. It's the only thing I can think of, because after Tad read this dream, you know, I always wondered, like, did I, like, see a movie and forget about it? Like this has to be based on something, right? This has to be a movie.
Hopefully it's not based on, like, your fucking inner thoughts.
Yeah, no, fuck off. I'm not a murderer.
That sounds like something a murderer would say.
I'm not a killer. I'll kill anyone who says I am.
Exactly. I'll kill any motherfucker who dares look at me the wrong way.
So, that's the dream. I hope you all don't think less of me because of it.
I already think very little of you, Alex, because you unironically enjoy Steven Universe and you played Neptunia in the English dub for longer than it is funny.
You've read Homestuck all the way through multiple times. Who's the real bad guy here?
Four times. Almost
five. Who's the real bad guy here?
Anyway, so we recently hit 10,000 subs on YouTube, which is fucking... I went out in the air, I started shooting guns, it sounded like... Pew, 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 pew.
As I've described it to Tad, that's when on YouTube you officially matter. You're like, oh shit, these are like an actual group of YouTubers.
Yeah, like when I'm on YouTube and I see anyone with less than like 10,000 subs, I will flag their channel for promoting terrorism. Because it makes me personally angry.
Don't come off like a cocky asshole, Tad. be humble, motherfucker, that people find you funny. Don't be like Kenji Ifune and say, oh, we got $4 million on fucking Kickstarter. Well, time to make a cartoon, and fucking make an anime, make another Kickstarter. You know, t-shirts, lunchboxes, money number 9 is going to be the best thing ever. Bitch, no, you tone that down. You be humble. You be thankful.
Okay, Alex. Okay, here. I spit on any YouTube channel that has under 15,000 subs. I don't even give them, oh, look at this video that's incredibly, like, relevant to me and my interests and looks like it had a lot of work into it. Oh, he doesn't have 15,000 subs. Ting! That ting sound isn't a spittoon. It's me spitting on their subscribe button so I never touch it again. Anyway, yeah, holy shit, 10,000. That's kind of a lot. So, I just want to say thanks to everyone that's like and subscribe, tweet, share us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram. Hey. Find us on Grindr. Grindr is a gay dating app, Alex.
I know what it is, Tad.
Why didn't you laugh then? I don't understand.
Because you can't even ironically say, please like and subscribe, jackass, because people are going to just do it. Because people do that thing ironically to get more people to sub. It's like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm humble. Like and subscribe to me, smiley face. Like, now I just did it because of you. You fucking scumbag. Look what I put up with. See, I am the guy who did nothing wrong. You piece of shit. The minute you hit 10,000, Ted's like, oh, man, it goes right to your head.
You know that Simpsons episode where Homer is covered in, like, gems and gold and laughing? That's literally me.
I fucking hate you sometimes.
I hate you so much, Alex. When we're not on the podcast, we don't even speak to each other. Strictly business relationship. So, speaking of 10,000 subs and all this really, really good shit, let's go ahead and give a shout-out to our Patreon people who were just shy of our next goal, which is a bonus Noise Boys each month. So I just want to give a shout out to No Two Hands, Cody Went, Sean Dunsmore, Christopher Huey,
Logan the Scrub, Stephen Finn, Alba, Jaren Kiwi, and Magic Man.
Yeah, you guys can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and you can find us on Twitter at LetMeTellYouPD. There's a Discord in the description of each episode, and sometime this week, for absolute 100 underlined twice sure, the website's going to be ready. I bought two URLs, lmtya.com and letmetellyouabout.moe, because letmetellyouabout.com would have literally cost me $3,100. So those are the two URLs, lmtya.com and letmetellyouabout.moe, because I saw that I could have .moe instead of .com, and I could not pass it up. I paid for that out of my own pocket because I did the math and it was already done with the Patreon stuff. So that was my $19 to get Let Me Tell You About .moe. Anyway, Alex, do you have any last words for yourself before I fucking send this into the local police station?
I'm not a psychopath. I'll kill anyone who says I am.
All right, that'll do it. We'll see you guys again next week.